FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is July 1st, 2016. That means it is time for Mickey Fulps' monthly major market review for June of 2016. Mickey, happy Canada Day.
Happy Canada Day. Happy 4th of July on Monday, Kerry.
Hey, you too, man. And
Independence Day, yahoo.
Yeah, hey, well.
We threw off those Brits.
Yeah, now we've got the bureaucrats. I don't know if you caught the article, but there are more bureaucrats that have guns than there are Marines that have guns. So, hey, that should make you happy.
Hey, I think everybody that chooses ought to be able to have as many guns as they want.
Hey, Second Amendment, that's what guarantees all the others. But free markets, first and foremost, that's what we try to concentrate on, or markets, be they free or otherwise. And June was quite a ride, wasn't it?
Well, it's been quite a ride over the last week. You know, the Brits, so, well, let's just say the English.
Yes, the English.
Decided that taxation without representation was bad. It took them, 240 years to figure that out. They're trying to throw off their European bureaucratic masters now. So their former resolution, crazy week. The Brexit really went against market consensus. Markets really hate surprises. So a week ago today, everything was down. The markets are down 3-7%. U.S. markets 3-4%. But that was a really short-term phenomena, 2 or 3 days. And here we are, gained almost all of that back over the last week. So looking at the Dow, up 1% over the last month. S&P 500 basically flat, pushing 2100. But you look at these markets and they're still, just 1% or 2% or even 0.5% below their all-time highs. 3% year-to-date gain for the Dow, for the S&P 500. NASDAQ's underperformed, minus 3%. But I took a look back. The markets have essentially been flat for the last 19 months. If you go to end of November of 2014, markets have moved. Russell 2000 flat over the month, close the month 11.52.
Yeah, you would think nothing's happened in the past 19 months if you didn't know better, right?
Well, you could say nothing's happened over the last 19 months, basically, yeah. In the markets. Toronto Venture Exchange had a nice flat over the month, had a nice first year-to-date, half, 8% up. The real mover in the markets has been the Toronto Venture Exchange. As commodities come back into vogue, 8% up for the month, closed at 7.30. That's a high since, again, the end of November of 2014. A whopping 26% quarterly return and nearly 40% for the first half of the year. Emerging markets up 3% over the month, 5% over the year. But that at 834, that index is significantly off its highs of, let's say, year and a half ago. And finally, the VIX, it was kind of funny. The VIX on Friday was up to 24. Now it's settled back down. Finished the month at 16, which is low volatility. Over the entire month, we're really pushing really low volatilities. I think we talked about that last month. We had a couple of days where it went up, and now it's right back down.
Yeah. Hey, well, things go in cycles, as we say. But it's interesting that that 19-month mark, that's when things really hit a wall, kind of. And we've kind of been circling back, and maybe we're going to move on from that point now. Something's going to change, perhaps. That remains to be seen. But hey, let's move on to our money markets there, our currency markets. A little bit of movement there, not a heck of a lot, but I'll let you take it away there with the dollar.
Well, the dollar closed just under 96, but it gained almost a percent and a half with the Brexit news a week ago. Euro at flat at 111. What I really notice, I mean, you know, we keep referring back to the end of November of 2014. Dollar's up about 8% since then. So, you know, in November of 14, we were in the middle of that big run-up in the dollar. The real story, or one of the real stories with the Brexit move, was the fleeing to what's perceived as safe havens. That would include the U.S. dollar, 10-year treasuries, government bonds all over. The 10-year treasury rate lost 19% over the months, lost 29% year to date, closed at 1.49%, as people for some reason think that government bonds are some sort of safe haven. I don't quite understand that. But anyway, there was a bunch of money that fled to that. And then Bitcoin had a phenomenal move up once again, up 29% over a month, closed at 672 and change, up a whopping 62% over the quarter and 56% over the half. All I can figure out, there must be, in addition to the fleeing to the dollar, the fleeing to gold, government bonds, there must be a significant amount of change going into alternative currencies.
Yeah, I had Trace Mayer on, who, you know, is quite the Bitcoin authority, has been in it since the beginning. So there's two things happening, two trends in Bitcoin, according to Trace, and I have to take him at his word. Number one, yes, there is some flight capital going on there, both from Europe and from China, because China's been, the yuan's been experiencing a number of devaluations.
Yes.
And then the other thing that's happening, Mickey, which I wasn't aware of, I don't know if you were either, is that the transactional volume, okay, just like you have transactional volume in all currencies, has been going way, way up, meaning that people are using Bitcoin as a medium of exchange. For what, I'm not sure, but I guess if you buy a lot of stuff on Overstock or Amazon or wherever, and you want to use Bitcoin, you're using it now. And he said it's like a few $100 million a day in Bitcoin being used for purchases. So the combination of the two seems to be elevating that cryptocurrency. And the numbers, I mean, we've got 3 months in a row where it's been up substantially. April, 9.9%, May, 14.5%, and last month, 28.8%. And even last month doesn't tell the real story. It broke $800 last month for a day, and then immediately pulled back to just below 700. So if that's a trend, 3 months, I don't know if that makes a trend or not.
Yeah, I don't know either. But the fact that transaction volumes are way up, I mean, that's a fundamental parameter, not driven by speculation so much. So I would look at that as positive for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Fundamentals there versus pure speculation.
Yeah. And then when we're looking at fundamentals, let's shift over to the metals, where we see fundamentals since the beginning of 2016. Looks to me, from my narrow perspective, fundamentals have totally shifted in the metals, at least in gold and silver.
Well, especially in gold and silver. The price of gold was up $60 in one day last week after the Brexit, closed almost at 1322, up almost 9% over the month, but 24.5% for the half.
Yes.
The real story in precious metals over the last week or so has been silver. It's just been on a tear, up 17% for the month, almost 35% for the half. And we called this. We said silver is very undervalued with respect to gold. You know, the ratio hit 83 briefly. I can't remember exactly when it was ago, a couple of months ago anyway. that gold silver ratio is now down to 71. You know, before we started today, we were talking about silver and $20 silver. And I'm of the opinion, I mean, it's pushing it today. It's 1950 right now. But 20 bucks is huge resistance for silver. But it blew right through the $18, 1850 resistance. But I'm of the opinion that when silver gets above 20 bucks, we may see some of the hoarders start dumping physical silver on the market and taking profits. So let's mark that $20 as a very strong resistance. If it blows through that, who knows for silver? And it's got a long ways to go. You know, we're looking at some point, we're looking for a gold silver ratio of 40 to 50. And that will come, you know, it may be a year, it may be 5 years, but it will revert down to that low. Meanwhile, platinum had a very good month, up 4%, above 1,000 for the first time in a couple of months, up 14% for the half. Palladium is still flat, just under 600, although that's up almost 10% over the month. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago. A year ago or so, we were looking at platinum well above 700, up 6% over the half. And it is very much underperforming other precious metals. Copper, meanwhile, had a really nice move over the last couple of weeks. Closed yesterday at 219. That's up 2.5% over the month. And 3% year to date.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, palladium's just been the laggard. And the interesting thing was that for the past year and a half, or before 2016, I should say, the past year and a half leading up to 2016, it was by far the stellar performer. It hit $903 back. When was that?
Date? Yeah, it was the end of August of 2014.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So 2014 was an interesting year, and we're circling back now. So, hey, then we got to look at our energy for the month, and we look at Henry Hub really made, well, getting into the others, but they all made substantial recoveries. But Henry Hub especially was the stellar performer.
Henry Hub had a stellar month, closed at 286. It wasn't that long ago. A month ago, it was at 209 or hovering in the $2 range, up 37% over the month, 30% year to date. Part of this has to be seasonal as we get into the heat of the summer. And we have had, at least in the western U.S., a very hot June. So everybody's running their air conditioners unless you live in a house with walls a foot and a half thick like mine. But that's good for gas. The real story for me is oil. Oil spent most of the month pushing that $50 range, went above it a few times, closed the month at $49.88. Took a $2 dive after Brexit last week, but recovered that all this week, up 36%. Over the half. The Brent price closed the month a little bit above 50.61, up 39% over the half. But the thing to notice once again is those two oils are now trading about par. Meanwhile, the only thing in commodity space that's not so hot is uranium. Still hovering less than 27 bucks on the spot price.
Yeah, and by the way, that is since we've been tracking it since, I guess, 2011. It's at its lowest since December 30th of 2011. It's the lowest since we've been tracking it.
Well, that's true. Now, intermonth, I mean, over the last couple of months, we've seen it go below that. I've seen it actually as low, if memory serves, 25.50 or 25.75 intramonth. But your point's well taken. I mean, we're looking at a oil price or a uranium price that's we're looking at lows since 2005.
Yeah. And it's not like China has stopped opening nuclear power plants, stopped building them. The U.S. Just opened its first one. It's in testing right now in several generations, and with more on the way. And same, Asia's got numerous plants on the way. Japan, right? We know where that's heading. So this could well be the bottom for it, don't you think?
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, there's a bunch of stuff going on in uranium business domestically. You know, the DOE still dumps its stockpile on the market every once in a while. And we've had some older plants closing now. There was an announcement this week, two or three older uranium plants in the U.S. going to close. A plant in California is going to close. This is very much politically driven, I think. And also, the price of gas has been so low that gas is taking over. And you know, these utility companies, I think, have very short-term outlooks, and it's going to come back to bite them, because gas isn't going to stay down at $2 or $2 or $3 a million BTU. You know, we're talking about a big move up on gas, but a lot of producers have shut in wells even at $3 or $4 gas. So
and
we'll see where it goes. But ultimately, nuclear is the obvious answer for baseload electricity for the future.
Yeah, and we know that technology also, in spite of the low prices in energy, the technology is really making it profitable to drill at ever lower prices. So the prices come up a bit. Hey, it's just going to add to the amount of production. I mean, we've seen it. There's profitable wells out there, fracked and otherwise, in the U.S. at $45 the barrel.
Oh, I think the consensus is that fracked, that a well-run fracked oil field is shale oil field is going to be profitable, probably average at $45, not just the exception. But, you know, these drillers are getting better and better. Prices continue to go down. You know, most producers of shale oil are going to make money, good netbacks at $45.
Yeah. No question. A lot of things going on in the energy patch there that I don't think the markets are really reflecting here very, very well. So, yeah, and we look at our ratios here. Interesting things here with the ratios. The Brent to WTI is at par again.
Yeah, we mentioned that. And gold to silver at 71. Mm-hmm. Platinum to gold finally made a little bit of a recovery here in the last couple of weeks. It was hanging down at all-time lows of 0.75. It's now 0.77. I'll make my call on platinum again. If you're going to buy precious metals right now, you ought to look at platinum, because it is still very much undervalued, both with respect to gold and with respect to palladium. And we would expect those ratios to increase. And certainly silver's still got a ways to go. Ultimately, it's had a really big run up over the last couple of days. Who knows how long that continues. But if you're going to buy precious metals right now, physical metals, gold is probably your last choice.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed for sure. And hey, we go back.
And we're talking a leverage thing here, right, Karen?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that gold's not going to go higher and higher here, because as you say, it looks like we're into a bull market for commodities. Hedge funds are moving back in. But it all becomes a matter of where you can generate the most profits.
Yeah. And those ratios started going crazy. Pick the date again. November 30th, 2014, that's when they all started going wild. So maybe they're normalizing again, and that can only mean one thing, you know, and that means that that they're moving back to traditional relationships, if you will. I mean, we look at the energy, too. Same thing. back in November of 2014, the gold to WTI was 17.4. Now the ratio is 26.5. So something happened in that time period to commodities that really upset the apple cart. So maybe we're heading back here. I'm not sure. I mean, even going back to that time, you know, there was still a slight premium for the Brent, and it went higher at some point. You know, we look at WTI to Henry Hub, it's getting back to where it was with 16.6 then, it's 17.4 now. So, you know, these ratios, these relationships between these commodities, they're not written in stone, but when you look at them historically, I think they tell a story, and we're starting to see things shift and there's changes happening. I think that's what the story is telling us now. So,
I think the gist of it, as commodities move back toward higher prices, we would expect more normal relationships in these ratios. So that presents buying and selling opportunities.
Yeah, exactly my point. Yeah, we go back when we first started doing it back in 11, and the silver to gold ratio was 56 to 1. The platinum to gold was 0.89, and the platinum to palladium was 2.14. And, you know, all of that changed. So, yeah, I think there's buying opportunities. I'm inclined to agree with you, platinum, but you know, ordinary investors just, they're getting into metals. They're not going to platinum. That's the thing. That's for sophisticated investors as a rule. But, you know, it's really, hey, how do you buy platinum? How do you do it? You go to the bank in Canada and just buy platinum, right?
Yeah, I go to the bullion exchange in Canada.
Right. Yeah. So it's not that easy in the States to do it. You got to go buy it.
Oh, yeah. It's easy in the States, too. It's not the way I do it in the States.
Yeah.
I buy my precious metal in the States online through ColoradoGold.com.
Yeah.
It's the best markups that I know.
Yeah. You could do it through them or through Miles Franklin, or, you know, you got any number of choices. Just be wary. You don't want to get caught short by some of these other guys that promise too much and then they never deliver. We could do a whole show about all these guys who have come and gone as well, Mickey. We know them only too well. So that's it for now. So find Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com, and tell us your other sites, Mickey.
At Mercenary Geo is the Twitter feed, and mercenarygeologist.fm, 24/7 streaming audio.
All right. And you find us at financialsurvivalnetwork.com, which you probably already did if you're listening to this podcast. And we're at Kerry Lutz. That's the Twitter feed. I think we're up to about 12,000 followers at this point. And hey, Mickey, it's been an exciting month. I think that this month, sell in May and go away definitely did not apply.
Did not. We're going to see if there's going to be a summer doldrums now.
Yeah, it's looking less and less likely, but hey, you never know. These markets always unpredictable and always keeping us on our toes. We'll talk to you next month, Mickey. Be well.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.